Good to see everybody out this morning, especially our visitors. We're extremely happy to have you. Most likely you're here because somebody loved you or cared enough about you to invite you. I told them to invite friends, family, or enemies. So you're in one of those categories. So hopefully you're here because you're a friend or family. And if you're an enemy, then they still love you. So that's another good thing to think about. But as has been announced, we're having a potluck after the service. And you're more than welcome to stay. You don't have, you know, if you didn't bring anything to eat or to pass around, that's fine. I'm sure there'll be plenty of food. So if you'd like to stay, we would appreciate that so that we can get to know you a little better. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the rack in front of you. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. And we'll be reading there in a few moments. There was a boss of a big company who needed to call one of his employees because he had an urgent problem with one of his computers. And so he called the house of the employee, and he was greeted by a child's whisper of, "Hello." The boss asked, "Is your daddy home?"
"Yes,"
the small voice said. "May I speak with him?"
"No."
Well, the boss was surprised with the no, and he's persistent. He says, "Is your mommy home?"
"Yes."
"Can I speak with her?"
"No."
"Well, is there someone there that I might talk to?"
"Yes, a policeman."
"Well then, may I speak to the policeman?"
"No, he's busy."
"What's he doing?"
"He's talking to mommy and daddy and a fireman."
Now the boss is growing concerned. Just about that time, he heard what he thought was a helicopter landing very close because he could hear it over the phone.
And he said, "What's that noise I hear?" And the voice said, "It's a helicopter."
And that alarmed the boss, and he said,
"What's going on there?" He said, "Well, the search team just landed the helicopter."
And then the boss wanted to know,
"What's going on?"
And the voice giggled and said, "They're searching for me." Now, I've been a dad long enough to suspect what might have happened to that boy, a little boy, when they finally found him. But there's no doubt of how much he was valued by that dad and that mom who were searching for him. And there's no doubt of how much they loved him. And in fact, if any one of my children disappeared, I would do whatever I could to try to find them. So our text this morning is dealing with three stories that Jesus tells. Beginning at verse 3, it says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece that I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living." We're going to stop right there because we're going to come back to that story, but in a few minutes. But what we find here are items of great value to these individuals. A man had lost a sheep. He left 99 of the sheep, and he went in search of that one sheep. And then there was a woman who had lost one coin out of 10, and From what I've read, the value was probably around $50 of our money. And if that was the case back at that time, you would imagine how much that coin would be worth. So obviously it was worth something of great value because she diligently tried to find that coin. She swept that house and then she found it. And then there was a man who lost his son, and he constantly looked toward the horizon until that son came home. Those are pretty good stories. Those stories are easy for us to visualize in our minds. As we read those stories, we can see it taking place. We can picture a shepherd with his sheep out looking for one. We can picture a woman in her house who'd lost a coin, how she's sweeping and diligently trying to find what she had lost. And we can picture that father who'd lost his son as he's waiting for his son to return. And yet Jesus wasn't telling those stories to entertain his crowd. He had a specific audience that needed to hear what he had to say. And Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it tells us who that audience was, and it was the scribes and Pharisees who murmured when they saw who Jesus was with, when he said that this man, or they said that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You see, these Pharisees and teachers were religious leaders in their society. They were people that others looked up to for what the Bible said at that time. They wanted to know what God's Word was. But yet they were so holy that they didn't want to be around sinners. And they condemned Jesus for doing what He did. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." In that particular passage of Scripture, Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. That means it was the people that were members of the body of Christ. They were Christians. And what does it say there? It gives a list and it talks about these people, but then it says, "And such were some of you." And so what's the picture that we see that Paul is painting here? Is that there's a group of people that are Christians. They had been in sinful conditions, but God was able to wash them clean. I hear people sometimes that will tell me that they can't live the Christian life, that it's impossible to be a Christian, that God wouldn't want to have anything to do with them because of the sin that they've had in their lives. And I'm here to say today that God loves you, God cares about you, and that's why Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. There is no sin that God cannot wash away with the blood of Christ. And what a blessing it is to know that Jesus loved us, loved all of us, even when we were in a sinful condition, separated from God. Jesus loved us enough to die on the cross for you and me. There's something interesting when we look at these parables. First, there are three of them. And any one of these stories would have proved the point that Jesus wanted to make. But Jesus told three parables. Why? Why would Jesus say these three things when they're all pretty much saying the same thing? Well, I found in the Scripture many times that when God wants us to remember something, He repeats that. Let me repeat that. When God wants us to remember something, He repeats that. Let me repeat that again. When God wants us to remember something, He repeats it. And God wants us to remember the stories. Why? He wants to get our attention. Because sometimes we're slow to catch on. And in each one of these parables, there's something slightly different. A man who lost or had 100 sheep, he loses 100th of his property, and he searches the hillside until he finds it. A woman who loses a coin, one-tenth of what she has, and she searches diligently until she can return it to its rightful place. A father that has two sons and he loses half of his children, he earnestly watches for his son's return. Each parable tells a story of items that are increasing in value. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter how valuable a person may seem to you, but to God, He'll do whatever is necessary to find that which is lost. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, "Are not two sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." I mention it from time to time that when we look out outside in nature and you're driving down the road, if you see a pheasant, you might stop the car and look at it, watch it run around, cross the road, or go into the field. You call someone to the window to see a blue jay or a cardinal. You look up and you see the geese. They're starting to fly in the direction they're supposed to go at this time of year. But how many of us take sparrows for granted? Don't call people to the window to see a sparrow. You don't stop the car to look at a sparrow. But Jesus says, not a sparrow falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father taking notice. And we are much more valued than those sparrows. So God cares about us. One thing about these parables is a man loses one of his sheep, and what does he do? He searches till he finds it and he takes it home. A woman loses one of her coins. What does she do? She searches until she finds it. And then she returns it to her rightful place. A father loses his son and what does he do? He stays home. The father doesn't go off looking for his son. He doesn't call the police. He doesn't organize a search party. He just stays at home and waits. That doesn't seem quite right, does it? Somebody goes and looks for a sheep. Somebody looks for a coin. But a father just stayed home. Doesn't the father care? Doesn't he care about his son? Well, of course he cares. But there's something that we need to understand. The prodigal son is not a sheep. The prodigal son is not a coin. Sheep and coins are commodities, things that people own, items that are to be collected and stored away. But you can't do that with a grown son. The prodigal son was an individual with a free will. Can you imagine what would have happened if the father had gone into the foreign city where his son had gone and tried to take his son home? He travels to that foreign city, hunts him down, finds his apartment where he's at, and says, "You're coming home with me." What do you think would have happened? Or if the father would have grabbed him by the wrist and said, "You're coming with me," or maybe even by the ear and said, "You're going home." And then he gets him home and he puts him in a room and he locks the door. What do you think would have happened? Son probably would have run away the next opportunity that he had, and you wouldn't have found him again. So the father didn't do that. You see, he wouldn't have regained his son if he'd have went out and got him and brought him back. He had to wait until the son decided that he was going to return. He was still lost. And the key to the story of the prodigal son is the fact that the father had to wait until the lost son wanted to come home. How did that come to pass? Well, back to Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. It says, "And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You stop right there. For a Jewish boy, the worst thing in the world would be to be around swine. But that's the only job that he can have. And if you notice, during that time when he had money, it seems that his friends were there. And that's the way friends are sometimes. When you've got something to give them or that they can use, they'll be around. But the minute that is gone, they drop you like a hot potato. And sometimes we learn that lesson the hard way. And that's what this young man did. He learned his lesson the hard way. He took his money. He'd gone off into this far country away from dad as far as he could get away. And he was going to do what he wanted to do. And he did. But then he found himself broke. And his friends were done with him. And now he finds himself taking care of swine. Feeding swine. And eating what they're eating. It's not a good picture. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before men, or before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." He was not even going to go home. To be taken back as a son. He just wanted to go back to his father's house because he realized that even the servants in his father's house were better off than he was. He simply hoped that his father would take him back in that capacity. He really didn't expect his father to take him back as a son. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion. Now notice this, and ran. The father had been eagerly watching for his son. You can see the father's love because there again is one of these things that you can see a picture of it. The father standing there on the porch, watching the horizon, waiting for his son to come home because the son has to decide that he's going to come back. He can't go get him. He's got to wait. You think that father loved his son? You think that father cared about his son? Because he stood there on that porch or stood there in that area watching and waiting for his son to come. And when he sees him, he didn't make him crawl. He didn't make him beg. He ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." And father, notice what he does. He totally ignores what his son said. But the father said unto his servants, "Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. This father loved his son. This son had done some things that weren't right. But you see what happened? The father still wanted to restore him back. But he couldn't do it until the son came to that decision that he had to go back to the father. As much as the father wanted his son to return, as much as he had done everything to convince the boy that he loved him, he still had to wait until the son made that decision to return. As much as God wants us to return to Him, and as much as He does to convince us that He loves us, that decision still has to be made by you and me. God showed us His love, God demonstrated that when He gave His Son on the cross to die for your sins and my sins. God demonstrated that His love for us when He created the world and placed us up, placed man up in this earth to enjoy the things that He's blessed us with. God shows us His love when He gives us His Word that we can study and read and learn what His will is, as opposed to just, I can do whatever I want and God's just going to accept it. It's not what God tells us. Our faith has to be based upon His Word, as Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us. And so we look for His Word to see how much He loves us. And the question really is, how much do we love Him? Had you ever realized that you were so important to God that He's looked for you? Do you ever know that when He sent His Son to the earth to die on the cross, that He was thinking of you? Did you know that if you were the only person on earth who needed it, God would have still sent His Son to die on a cross for you? Maybe that fact has become real to you. That's why God shows us this parable. Because there are some people that are at that decision where they need to come back to God. God is waiting for your return. Jesus tells us what we need to do in order to be saved. These are His words. Go into all the world, He tells His disciples, Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? Well, there's other passages in Scripture that tells us the gospel is the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He arose victorious on the third day. So He died for our sins. Then He went into the grave, and then He came forth out of that grave, which actually proves that He is who He claimed to be. And so He told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We can look in the book of Acts and we can see where that message was preached on numerous occasions. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached that they by wicked hands had crucified Christ. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's answer was, repent and be baptized. What for? The remission of sin. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you're not a Christian. Jesus loved you enough to give us away so that we could be reconciled back to Him. So this morning, if you need to be obedient to the gospel by being baptized into Christ, then we're here to help you and we'll do whatever we can. We have water here. We have clothes that people can wear. So if you need to be baptized into Christ, you can do that today. Maybe you haven't lived like you should. We could go on and we could read about the son that stayed home. That son had a bigger problem than the one that came back. And sometimes as members of the church, we may have a problem. We're not living like we should. We may not have the right attitude toward God. And so if that's the case, you need to make things right. And if you can take care of that yourself in a private way, that's fine. But if you need our prayers, we're here to help and to serve you. And so if you need to respond to the invitation this morning, you can come and have a seat up here on the front row as together we stand and sing.